Sixers Talk Podcast in your earpiece. Thank you for joining us once again. We're brought to you by Wilmington University, WilmU Works, Ben Berry, our producer extraordinaire, Noah Levick, the writer with the golden pen, and Danny Pommel's here joining you on the podcast. And a lot to get to as normal. Very rarely do we have a podcast where the topics aren't plentiful. We have to first and foremost send our warm thoughts and good vibes to Dave Yeager, Sixers assistant coach, who is leaving the team to undergo chemotherapy and radiation treatment for head and neck cancer. And, just a real big blow to the team, as he is, very instrumental in game planning and schemes for the team. Noah, you could see how it affected the team, that they were very, I wouldn't say emotional is the word, but sincere probably about, their thoughts and feelings toward what Dave meant to the squad and his speedy recovery and things like that. And just really hard to wrap your head around, the term is 0 to 60, you're not aware of his cancer where, he obviously is. And then he breaks the news to everyone and he wanted to make sure he did that in the proper way. And I really think he did. And, can you speak to at all how you feel like this might affect the team, not very much so emotionally, but maybe X's and O's wise?
Yeah, I mean, obviously this is something that's bigger than basketball. I think it's really telling. You had Danny Green tweeting out, and this is one of the best people I've ever been around. And he's obviously been around quite a lot of people in his long NBA career. So Dave Yeager's someone the Sixers enjoy having on the team and think very highly of. As far as his role, yeah, he's one of the few front of the bench coaches and someone Doc Rivers holds in high regard, both as a person and basketball wise. So offensively, he was very highly thought of as a tactician and someone who would help with the scheming and the game planning, as you said. So I'm sure the Sixers will figure out how to make up for his absence and will be as supportive as they can as he goes through this. It was good to hear that he detected this early, and he said that's one of the reasons that he didn't want to go public, is just to encourage folks to be as on top of their health as possible and see their doctor about any potential concerns. He said he had this lump in his throat that just did not go away, and unfortunately was diagnosed as cancer, but he seems optimistic about the prognosis. And I know, the whole Sixers organization will be there behind him and hoping things go as well as they possibly can here.
Yeah. Everyone here at NBC Sports Philadelphia, the Sixers Talk Podcast, sending him and his family a big virtual hug.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
In the same way as these other issues, but it is another layer that the team has to deal with, another layer of emotion, another layer of focus that takes away maybe from some of the basketball, rightfully so, but just something else that the team is dealing with along with the Ben Simmons stuff, along with the COVID-19 stuff, and unfortunate that it has to happen this way. Our condolences and, love we send to Dave Yeager and his family. With all that said, that news was broken to us after the game against Indiana. The Sixers now dealing with the 4-game losing streak. During the game against the Raptors, we had this explosive Rich Paul comments from Shams Charania that really colored the rest of that game. And the Sixers dropped the game, and then I don't know if you were in the room after the game, but it didn't seem like anyone really wanted to touch the subject. What was your feeling after hearing about the article and it, you know, being released during the game against the Raptors, and then, you know, after the game where it, the media had a chance to maybe ask about it or address it. And what do you think the feeling was there, Noah?
Well, before the game, Doc Rivers had already told us that Simmons was at the team's film session for the game at Wells Fargo Center, which was notable. He said he was in the back, and Rivers was not initially aware that he was present. And, you know, he didn't offer much on a few follow-up questions and made it clear, as he has time and time again, that his focus is on the players there and that he does not want to be caught up in Ben Simmons news more than is necessary for him to do his job. So, I don't think there's necessarily any reluctance to inquire further about this. I just think we're at a point where there's often not much more to say. And though the comments by Rich Paul to The Athletic were strong in tone and certainly probably controversial to some, I think the overall gist is not that surprising. Like these two sides are not on the same page, and Simmons' camp wants to present themselves in a way that is sympathetic and makes him look good. And the Sixers do not want to have to acknowledge the fact that this is messy and has been messy more than they have to. So I think that's still kind of where we're at. And especially from Doc Rivers, I get it. You don't want to talk about this when you have basketball games to coach and you have a shorthanded team and you're trying to deal with all the rigors of an NBA season.
And I think for the first time here, we're dealing with the Simmons issue and a team that isn't quite at performing at the level that they would like because of the COVID-19 stuff, because of the guys that have been in and out of the lineup. Obviously missing Joel Embiid is a gigantic part of that. But for the first time, they're facing this losing and not having the strong relationship and results on the court, where the Simmons issue and the losing are now combined to, you know, maybe hopefully not push them further down this road of what a tough schedule here. Five more games left on a 6-game road trip. Obviously Utah coming up, Denver, Portland, Golden State on the horizon. So I think it's a weird time for the Rich Paul comments. Obviously a weird time for The Athletic to drop that article during the game. I saw a tweet that I thought was pretty funny that said, I don't know, I hope Adele isn't jealous of Rich Paul's relationship with Shams Charania, because it just seems like, you know, we talked about this previously on podcast as well, that there was this, you know, scattershot approach to, you know, various reporters having, you know, scoops on the Simmons situation from different outlets, most of them The Athletic and NBC Sports Philly and ESPN. But here we are with finally some words on Simmons' situation from someone as close to him as we could possibly think, other than Simmons himself. And it's just the timing of it and the Sixers losing streak is not favorable to me. I just feel like this is a moment where that galvanizing, that chemistry can help, you know, deflect some of that. But here they are. They can't be galvanized because everyone's not healthy. Tobias Harris and Seth Curry did return, which we'll get to in a minute, but just handling this off the court stuff. Do you feel like the harbinger of this thing and maybe what's to come here? They kind of have to make their way through this in order to get back to the winning ways to kind of distract and deflect from, you know, all this off the court stuff. I thought he did a great job of that early on. Like the winning was a great way to, a great shield, a great buffer to all that stuff. But now they're not winning and you still have this Simmons issue continuing to grow and swell.
Yeah. My perception honestly is that Simmons has not been extremely influential, at least in terms of like being a distraction in any of the wins or any of the losses. The fact that he's not there on the court matters a lot. especially right. when Joel Embiid is sidelined and you have zero All-Stars who are healthy on your team. But, I mean, if we're being honest, the first three games of this losing streak, you want to grade the Sixers, I think a fair grade would probably be like a B+. Like, they played really, really well given the resources they had, I think. And then the Indiana performance, probably more in that C range. The defense was very disappointing in the first half, right. and they allowed Justin Holiday to go wild off the bench and all that. But it's not like this team, up until the Indiana game, in my estimation, had been playing poorly. A lot of it is just highly unfortunate circumstances where they've been hit hard by COVID-19 more than any other NBA team. And the schedule doesn't stop. Like, they've got eight available guys, and they need to keep playing games, and guys need to keep playing more minutes than is comfortable, and all of that. So, I think to me, of course, you can't say, okay, these are two entirely separate issues. Like, obviously, the Sixers are somewhat cognizant that Ben Simmons is not there and that there's drama swirling around him. But I think the on-the-court stuff continues to be somewhat separate in their minds. And that's kind of how things stand for the time being. But certainly, I'm sure Simmons and all of that would be much more palatable to fans if this team started winning again. But that's not going to be easy, as you mentioned.
Let's put a final, I was going to say nail in the coffin, but let's just give a final word on the Rich Paul comments, because mostly, again, we don't know where this thing is going to go. Is this going to go to arbitration? Will there be like some, you know, legal process that has to happen? You mentioned the fact that Rich Paul's comments direct sympathy towards Ben Simmons, maybe even empathy for those that may have suffered from mental health issues to the degree that Simmons says that he's suffering from them. It's funny. We're not going to break down each and everything he said, but I feel like in general, it reads to me that the sympathy point was a great example, but I feel like, Rich Paul is in a bit over his head and he's trying to tread water a bit with this type of report. And, you know, some of the tenuous things he said with comparing James Harden's situation to the Ben Simmons situation, I feel like are completely ridiculous. And, you know, you're Sham Sharania and you're reporting what Rich Paul said. So it is just a report where you're just supposed to take his quotes and present them. But I feel like some of the things he said were so loose and tenuous that it just almost is just like hearsay in a way. But I do feel like if Ben is suffering from mental health issues, the team should be very sympathetic to that. And I feel like they have given him opportunity for that. But in the end, living up to your contract, I think, is the overarching point. And Ben hasn't lived up to that. And I haven't heard the term mental health issues until it was in this article. Whatever those issues may be, whether it be anxiety, depression, or things like that, you know, we just to step away from basketball for a moment, we saw before our eyes Lane Johnson have to deal with these type of mental health issues and step away from the team. And, you know, and everyone's different, but I really am starting to feel like it might be a situation where the sympathy turns into apathy, where everyone is, you know, I'm sure there are people out there who still feel like Ben Simmons has a leg to stand on and is, you know, there are some people out there who see his side. But for me, the article just really colored things in a way that I felt like they were kind of grasping at straws and it was a bit tenuous. But did you have a final thought on if you thought there was any merit to Rich Paul's comments?
Yeah, I think it's tough because from both sides, this is all, unfortunately, but understandably, been extremely strategic minded. So even when Rich Paul is trying to make this point of we need to step away from basketball and think about Simmons the person, which I think is like in a vacuum, a valid point. You do have to treat it with, I think, a heavy dose of, I'm not sure, skepticism, but at a minimum, understanding that he's coming from the position of Simmons' agent and he's trying to elicit sympathy for his clients. So I think it's a bummer that all these kind of issues become somewhat muddled, and
right. We
have to treat them with grains of salt because there's a lot of money at stake and there are a lot of reasons to wonder if things are being said with false sincerity or just to have skepticism about how Simmons is approaching it or how the Sixers are approaching it or what have you. Like, every side has an angle here. And you would love it to be a situation where that's not the case, but that's just not the reality. I'm curious, as always, to see what's next and whether Simmons and his camp continue to sort of go down this road where they're not pleased with the Sixers being supportive of Simmons's mental health situation. But I think something that was also tough and overlooked here is in the middle of this game, you know, Tyrese Maxey is scoring 30 plus for a second straight game. And this is one of Rich Paul's clients as well. So, it's just such a talking point whenever his name's brought up, and until he's traded, I think that's going to be inevitable. I guess, as has probably been clear sort of with my tone and the way I'm talking about this, I didn't find like anything that was said on the record there to be stunning or not aligned with like Simmons's stance so far. I just think what's notable is it was on the record, and though a lot of stuff's been leaked out there through Rich Paul and through Simmons's camp, now it's on the record, and we have to treat it a little more seriously because it's our job to care about this situation and to care about what Simmons's side has to say and the ways they're trying to draw sympathy and what they think of the Sixers and all of that. So a lot of twists and turns and a lot more to come, it seems like.
Yeah, a lot of, I just thought it was bold. I thought it was a bit audacious to phrase some of the things they did that way and to drop it during the game. I'm sure there was a point to doing that. But both sides holding their line. I mean, there's been no progress. Things are pretty much as they were since the article dropped, before the article dropped, and during. So, as Noah said, we will keep our eye on this. And let's talk some X's and O's, take a quick time out and get into where the Sixers stand and what's left on this road trip and how they kind of find their way back to the win column. Make your move in 2022. A Wilmington University education can take you where you want to go. Spring classes start January 10th. Apply today at wilmu.edu.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, let's start with the most recent game first. And Indiana, I'm sitting on my couch Saturday enjoying the game and just watching two former Sixers just – and Justin Holiday just erupt for 27 points and T.J. McConnell just playing to the crowd and doing T.J. McConnell things. It was frustrating. I thought that maybe Tobias Harris was going for a 50 ball at one point there. I think he had like 17 in the first quarter. But alas, it was the Sixers' fourth straight loss as they began the six-game road trip. Tobias Harris and Seth Curry back in the lineup. Tobias coming back from his his COVID-19 issue. Seth Curry only missed one game, if I'm correct, and is back and looking confident and no worse for wear. Tobias Harris, had a rough go of it against Toronto, but really bounced back against Indiana. I thought there was more there, but the Sixers gave it up 70 points in the first half, man. It just I'm sure it's just a painful thing for all you guys out there. It is, when you look at Justin Holiday, such an interesting career from where he started out in the G League with the Sixers to, did he win a title with the Warriors too? I'm not sure, but he just so many, stops along the way, but here he is against his former team. We know how much, players love to play against their former teams. Same goes for TJ McConnell, him and the 76ers sixth man going at it. And he ends up wearing TJ's jersey at the end because of a bet that they had. But are you feeling like this team can right the ship in Utah? And with what we've seen from them to this point, do you feel like there's a moment where they can turn the road trip around and maybe make it a winning road trip if they can get things together against teams like the Kings, maybe steal one against Utah? And in Portland or what have you, is there room for that, for them to kind of get back to where they were?
Going to be awfully difficult to the Utah specific question. Like, probably not. They're going to not be favored in that game. They're playing a very good home team and they'll be shorthanded. Danny Green again had to exit the game in Indiana with left hamstring tightness, and we'll get more news on him probably tonight, but it would be surprising if he played against the Jazz, and would not be surprising if he missed a stretch of games here, which you'd be able to compensate for a lot better if Matisse Thybulle was healthy and available, but that's not the case. For the time being, Thybulle's still out due to health and safety protocols. Same for Joel Embiid after he tested positive for COVID-19, and obviously no coincidence that the four straight losses have coincided with Joel Embiid not being available. So is this a team I would expect to lose every single game on this road trip? No, but to be frank, it could be in somewhat ugly road trip. It could be one where it's 1-5 or 2-4. And a lot of it, as has been the case for these last few weeks, is just dependent on who's healthy, who's available. Minor bit of good news there is Isaiah Joe cleared the health and safety protocols. Didn't appear against the Pacers, but he's at least an option now for Doc Rivers off the bench, and maybe he can alleviate a little of the burden on that wing rotation, especially if Green is sidelined. But it's really tough sledding here for the Sixers, and we've known for a very, very long time that so much of their fate rests on Joel Embiid's availability. So no great revelations here that without him, wins are hard to come by. And I think just the margin of error is really small, right? Like, even a situation like that Pacers game where a bench player gets super hot and Domantas Sabonis, I think, was 7-for-7 in the first half. Like, they played a strong second half overall. And I think Tyrese Maxey yet again was impressive and not quitting on that game and giving the Sixers some spark in the second half. But, they just dug themselves too big a hole. So not a big margin for error here for this team. And some good opposition coming up with Utah and Denver.
Yeah, man, it's just you go from the first team to 8 wins, your coach getting 1,000 victories, and you haven't won a game since then. Like, it's just like 4 straight losses that just really, test the resolve of not only the Sixers players, but the fans as well, as far as their expectations for this team, how they expect this Simmons thing to play out, what they want from, players who aren't named Joel Embiid. Seth Curry was carrying them at a certain point and really being so money in the fourth quarter. So many great things have happened to this point. I feel like it's hard to wrap your head around. Like you said, they were playing well. You would give them a B-plus in some of those games that they lost against Milwaukee and you know, it's difficult to justify, you know, or measure, you know, the losses with your expectations for the team and the fact that they're, you know, sunk in so much in the standings. I think it's just really a battle of attrition at this point. You just really have to hang in there and just hope for the best and that, you know, things will work their way out. Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at Utah, you look at Denver, those do not look like wins. Maybe Portland, maybe Sacramento. Golden State lost their second game the other night, so, you know, they'll be looking to protect the home court when the Sixers visit. It's just a shame that they can't, you know, we had to deal with this last season. We talked about it a bit on the last podcast, you know, Seth Curry leaving when they were 7-1, and then the way they weren't able to quite get him reincorporated until he felt better later in the season. And, you know, hopefully that's not the case. You know, Tobias Harris was curious how he would perform, you know, coming back, and it took a game and a half or so before he quite got to where he wanted to be. It's frustrating when you look at, you know, guys like Isaiah Joe, who could capitalize on this time and availability, finally getting healthy, and maybe he will. But they just ran out of firepower, and we saw it against the Knicks. We saw it against, you know, Milwaukee. And you could say the Pacers game as well. I mean, they were leading against Toronto at the half and didn't quite, you know, get to the finish line on that one. So let's go worst case scenario, Noah. So they come out of this road trip. They win maybe two games on it. I'm just going to say Portland and Sacramento. And suddenly they find themselves, you know, scraping 500. Is that something you feel like Joel Embiid's presence and him coming back will help them overcome immediately? Or is that something where we'll have to wait and see in your eyes for him to see how he reacted to having COVID-19 and, you know, reincorporate himself and be what he was before then?
I think much more the latter, because as we've seen, how players respond after having COVID is very unpredictable. Fortunately for Tobias Harris, though he's not at 100% cardio-wise, he's at least playing good basketball, was able to put up 32-11 in that Pacers game. And I think just the rhythm of the game, it doesn't seem to have taken him long to rediscover that, but we can't overstate. Joel Embiid was the MVP runner-up, and he's one of the best two-way players in the world. Like, he's not one of these guys who you can expect to be anywhere near the same level on either end when he's not on the floor. So the idea of this being a team that could win with whoever was out there and would just scrap together and be gritty and claw out wins in tough circumstances, it does seem to have frankly fallen apart a little bit, because now Joel Embiid is out. So I think the early season record doesn't matter a ton. I think what's most important is the health of Embiid, the health of the team in general, and Matisse Thybulle. Like, I don't think it can really be exaggerated how valuable he is defensively. Not only someone who can be a stopper, you know, on the opponent's best scorer and give other guys easier matchups down the line, but freakishly talented and is the best in the world at steals and blocks and creating transition offense. And the Sixers have been at the very bottom of the league in pace for a while. That's something, if he was there, would probably be looking a lot better. So all these absences matter a lot. Their presence will matter a lot too once they're back. But yeah, you can't just take for granted like that they're going to be themselves immediately. I mean, COVID-19, for many folks, even as Tobias Harris learned, you know, breakthrough infections, it can linger and it can have serious effects. And the Sixers will hope that's not the case when they're healthy again, at least in terms of, you know, being available to play.
Man, moral victories have turned into a four-game losing streak for the 76ers. It's tough that fans obviously are looking for that championship. The players obviously are looking for that championship. And no one said that path was a straight line. So how the Sixers deal with this adversity, the coaching staff, how they deal with this adversity, right, you're totally right. The health of the players is paramount. But there's a goal of winning, and then there's the mission of getting there. And the Sixers are trying to master the or conquer the missions as they come. And it seems like right now they're in a bad place, and not just because of basketball things, but so many things that are going on that combine to determine the outcome on the court. So I am right now at a place where I'm trying to wait and see how this plays out, hope for the best. You don't get that same jovial feeling when you turn the game on when the team is in disarray like this. Like, you know, you mentioned, you know, these games coming up, you know, Utah and Denver, you know, there's not the same, you know, hope in the battle that you're looking for, the fight that you're looking for. Obviously, we'll probably won't see the Embiid Jokic matchup. Jokic matchup that we were hoping for. What's your sense on when we might see Joel back? Because I don't know if it will make sense to bring him back on the road trip. Maybe wait until you get home and then incorporate him then. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I mean, it's the COVID stuff. It's all dependent on the individual players. Like, something I've stated in a bunch of stories, just so folks are aware, is, you know, these guys have to either wait a minimum of 10 days or register two consecutive negative PCR tests at least 24 hours apart. But like, just because you cross the 10-day threshold doesn't mean, okay, you just throw them back in there. Like, no, if someone's not feeling good, they're not going to be medically cleared to play, and it wouldn't be smart for them to play. So you just don't know. You don't want to speculate on any individual player. I mean, it seems like Tobias Harris was relatively fortunate in that he had pretty bad symptoms right off the bat, but then his trajectory was a lot better. The Sixers would hope something similar happens with Joel Embiid, but you just don't know. Doc Rivers did even acknowledge last week that Utah and Denver are not ideal places to throw a player back in the fray when cardio and lung strength and things of that nature are concerned. So for sure, it would be a bit of a shocker if we saw Joel Embiid in either of those games. But the rest of it, I think, just really is all about his personal health and how he's feeling and all of that. But yeah, Matisse Thybulle, as we've said, would sure be super valuable if the Sixers get him back anytime soon. Yeah, I mean, this is really one of the best defenders in the world. And based on what we saw in his first, whatever, 10 or so games this season, like, the notion of he can be a starter, he can be an all defensive first team sort of player, to me, that all looked really valid. So would be great for the Sixers if he sort of just picks back up on that track. But again, you can't take that for granted. Just given what COVID is and how it's affected some of these guys.
Sixers are currently undermanned and outgunned. It will test their resolve on how they come out of this and deal with this adversity. We'll be here with you every step of the way on the Sixers Talk podcast, brought to you by Wilmington University. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time for Noah Levick and Ben Berry. I'm Danny Pommels. Take care.